Would you like to enter our raffle?
Win dinner with a real astronaut? Okay, I like space. Ever since I was a child, I was always fascinated by Major Tony Nelson's failed space flight, his capsule crash landing on a desert island, knocking over a genie bottle, releasing Barbara Eden. Thank you, NASA. She was his slave.
TBTL.
Not true, of course, but cheer louder. Yeah!
Look, I get it. I'm not always fun to be around. I can be loud and abrasive. My breath. The doctors say I have incurable stink tongue.
So tired of you getting angry and yelling all the time. It's exhausting. I feel like I'm partners with the Hulk.
Pretty good.
Oh my god, man, we are seeing some shit we ain't never seen before.
And about to hear something that's probably never been heard before, because it's a Thursday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Let the great experiment begin!
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, the Bay City, and the beautiful Hotel Deluxe. And I'll tell you what, I'm ready to do this, everybody.
I'm ready to party with the best of them.
We are like hours away from the TBTL 10th anniversary 24-hour podcast marathon. And I'm down here in Portland. I feel like we're getting very close to getting the whole plan set. I don't know what I'm weighing because they don't have a scale here at the Hotel Deluxe.
Okay.
And I feel great.
Jalapeno!
I haven't felt this good in a month and a half since I started weighing myself every day. So I guess we'll all find out together on Saturday how I finished up, how close I got to 183, which was the goal. The goal today is to get through episode 2558 in a collector's series, because that is the episode that we have arrived upon.
Let the fun begin.
And things are going to get loopy, okay? Things are going to get wild and crazy. There are going to be mistakes that will be made when we've been broadcasting for 24 straight hours. But I hope that even in our addled state that we reach after 24 hours of doing this show, we don't do what apparently a bunch of kids have been doing on YouTube.
That would explain why we have so many drunk kids here.
Drunk on laundry packets? Yeah. Millennials. I mean, what can you do about them? I don't think it's actually millennials, for the record. I think it's like younger people than that. But we'll tell you about the latest trend that's being banned from YouTube because it is far too dangerous for people to take part in. It's no ice bucket challenge, I'll tell you that much. We got that. We got emails and V-mails. Oh, a listener. I believe it's listener Dan. He did a little. You know what happened, people? He showed some initiative. And I appreciate that about listener Dan. He heard us talking about a New York Times article about a guy in Italy who was trying to popularize pastrami, who's not a very beloved sandwich meat there in Italy. But this Italian guy he's on a mission. And listener Dan happened to be near the same small Italian town where the guy lives. He went and found him and took some pictures. Now, that is the kind of listenership that we appreciate on the show. People going out, spending thousands of dollars flying to Europe and tracking down people we've talked about on the show and then emailing us photos of it. That's all we ask on this program. Speaking of which, this program, well, if it's to be believed that it's sort of a dynasty.
You know, this show is like a dynasty. You hold it and then you hand it off to the next person.
That can mean that my next guest is, well, he's
part of it.
He's the longest running Cobro of the show, and he joins us now from Wallingford in Seattle, Washington. Hello, my dude.
Hey, you introduced me right at the perfect time, because I was about to get into an ill-advised, pedantic fight with a listener online that I was sure to lose.
Andrew Walsh.
Peace and love.
Want to know what I'm talking about?
I guess.
It's stupid. I'm not in the right here, by the way. I mean, even if my facts are right, which they probably are not, and I'll bet you this listener knows more what they're talking about than I do, who cares? But somebody just posted on Facebook, FYI, it's called the notch, not the bezel, 2 exclamation points. But why then was I reading article and article and article about people complaining about the bezel? Is the bezel something else on the on the iPhone?
I have always heard that referred to as the bezel. Maybe the bezel is technically the side, and that is the notch.
Yeah, but
it's
anyway.
Possible. It's possible.
So I was going to look for an article that references bezel and just post it without comment. But then every time I do that, somebody's like, yeah, but that's not actually the proper term. And
but
then I'm
in a glass case of emotion.
Then I'm put
and
into
bezeling.
My place, as I should be. So anyway,
listen,
so
free your mind. In the words of En Vogue, free your mind and the rest will follow.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Be colorblind and don't be so shallow.
I knew that next line. I'm so mad I couldn't come up with it. I just couldn't in this, and this is me rested. Hey, let's talk about our sleep patterns for the next day or so. Now, this might sound like a luxury to you, but my plan is, I got some people trying to get into my apartment. We have a plumbing situation here, which maybe I can tell you about another time. It's actually my downstairs.
I don't know what that means. But it sounds disgusting.
Yeah, a perfect drop. It's really, we don't have a plumbing problem. Our downstairs neighbors have a plumbing problem that is caused by us. That's what we call an NP, a neighbor problem. And it sounds like they're going to have to tear apart our entire bathroom. Anyway.
Perfect time to go on a 24-hour broadcasting jaunt away from the offices of Walsh, Walsh, and Dormat.
Well, I told them I couldn't do anything with them tomorrow. And chances are, I'll bet you this won't even happen for another week or so. They move slow here. And also, our landlords will do anything. And I mean anything to not properly repair something. So, like, the plumbers are here. Apparently, my downstairs neighbor hasn't, you know, I don't know where he's been staying, maybe with a friend, girlfriend, who knows, but he's not even living in his apartment anymore because there's an ever-growing leak. They don't know if it's caused by our shower, our toilet, what it is. All of this is to say, at some point, they're going to have to come in, supposedly, and either rip apart our bathroom, or the landlords are going to say, we're not going to pay for that, and he's just got to deal with a poop leak, which I wouldn't put him past. My point is, I told them, whatever happens, I cannot work with you guys at all on Friday. No plumbers can come here on Friday morning because I plan on sleeping as late as possible on Friday. That probably sounds like a luxury to you because you're a real go-go 80s Reaganaut kind of guy who never really stops. But
well, it's simple math. It's trickle-down economics, Andrew. And if you spent any time on the Lyndon LaRouche website, which I keep sending you the link to, you would understand about the Eurasian land bridge, okay? I don't have to explain it to you again.
I came for the little mustaches. I stayed for the conspiracy theories. Anyway, all of that is to say is, like, I'm hoping – I've been working kind of late at night anyway, so my schedule has been a little bit off. But I've been – because I got a lot on my plate, waking up, you know, at kind of a normal time for me, like 8-ish. But what I'm hoping to do is maybe stay up kind of even later than usual tonight so I can sleep until 10 or 10:30 tomorrow morning. And then hopefully, you know, the later I feel like I get out of bed tomorrow, the better shape I will be in once we're rolling for 24 hours. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it's a tough call because I don't, you know, we've actually tried to ask this question. I don't think we've really gotten a satisfactory answer about if you can carry sleep over or if sleep deficit carries over, because I'd like it if I could sleep in until one tomorrow. I guess I would assume that that means my battery life on the video game that is me is higher when I go into the depletion of the battery life or the power life. But I don't know if that's exactly how, like, circadian rhythm and those things work. Also, here's a more sort of, I don't know, prosaic yet romantic problem. I was texting my wife, Carrie Bird.
That's my wife.
This morning, I was saying I'm very excited because I'm in Portland still. I was like, I'm excited to come home. I'm flying home on the last flight out of Portland to Bellingham, which is canceled about 70% of the time.
Oh, God.
So we'll see how that goes. But I was like, I'm excited to come home. I'm going to get back at, like, I don't know, 12:30 or 1 in the morning because I have this gig tonight I got to do in Portland. So I'm like, I'm excited. Get in bed. I'll cuddle with you a little bit, even if it's only for a few hours. That's what I said. But now that you mentioned it, I'm thinking maybe I should go sleep in the guest room because, let's be honest, we all sleep better when we're not sleeping in a bed with another full-grown human. Sorry. Peace and love to the romantics out there. It's, you know,
peace and love. Peace and love.
It's definitely the we sleep in the same bed primarily. Because of what I consider to be the romantic nature of that, not just sex times, but just, like, I think it's nice. I like that it happens. But if I'm really gonna, if I'm gonna try to like just like a cartoon, like pull down cartoon shutters over each eyeball and like go to Z Town, I should sleep in the guest room. But I've already said I was gonna come home and cuddle. So what do I do? What, how do I handle this mess, Andrew?
I don't know. One thing I need to take issue with, you've said, you've made that point before on the show. I would say stop universalizing that and just say that's your experience, because I do not have problems sleeping with gender. I mean, if I am if I happen to be having one of those rare nights where I got a case of insomnia or I'm really stressed out, yeah, then maybe, and then maybe if she's snoring a little bit, then yeah, maybe I'll leave. But on just your average night, I'm never thinking I would be more comfortable or sleeping. I don't have trouble sleeping or getting comfortable when
it's
sharing.
Not, well, I mean, you're right. Everybody is different, and there maybe are some people that sleep better because they feel comforted. It's nice to know you have someone there. To me, the benefits far outweigh the drawbacks. But when you have, to me, when you have another human being in the same bed as you, that's a full grown. Well, forget it. Also, kids. Any of our listeners who have young kids. Man, a kid can starfish the living crap out of a bed. By which I mean a small child
can spread out
like a starfish and just take over like 80% of the bed. How did you do that on that king size Casper mattress, small child? So, but what I was going to say is I feel like, generally speaking, most people, if they're being honest, would say that having someone else near them who's tossing and turning or rolling over, and maybe that's the longest running cobra of your life, just as a rock solid, unmoving sleeper. But if you have another human being in the bed with you and they're moving, it can move you. It can have a little bit of an impact. And I think for a lot of people, that makes the sleep less great. But again, I think it's worth it.
That may be true. Yeah, I don't know. All I know is you always say it's the truth of everybody. And the only other experience I know is mine, and it's not the truth of me. So
when you are – well, okay. So let me ask this. When you are – like when we have traveled for – like we went to Austin. We stayed at that beautiful hotel – just across the river of Harley Davidson's. We got to the hotel and then we got to wait a good 20 minutes while the Harley Davidson aficionados of the greater Texas area drove through. We got in there and we had our own rooms and it was like a nice hotel. It was like a Sheraton or something. You're saying that in that Sheraton, when you closed your eyes and went to bed, you could just thrash about. You got the whole thing to yourself. You didn't sleep like a baby starting at 5 a.m. when we left your room?
I'm sure I slept well. I mean, I was also exhausted. Oh, 5 a.m. the next day when you guys finally left
your room. I'm remembering we played some weird baseball game where we were trying to catch a baseball blindfolded. We snuck into the pool. It was quite an adventure.
That's when we played the game, What Can You Turn Into a Stirrer?
Famously, I use a Sheraton remote control to stir a vodka soda and – you know, Commander sleeps a lot over there. Will never let me live it down.
I'm sure I slept well, but I don't think like another. Let me put it this way: I'm never in bed. If Genevieve had been on that trip with us and we were in the bed, I never have the thought, "Oh God, I could be sleeping better here if Genevieve weren't here." I'm not trying to be corny. What? It just is not an issue for me. I also make her sleep at the foot of the bed, and maybe that's part of it.
That is, well, you know, she's bred for keeping your feet warm.
That's right.
What is she, a King Charles Spaniel? You always hear that about small dogs like Chihuahuas. They were bred to – like a small dog will – listen for it. A small dog will often be described as being bred to keep the feet warm of the like royalty of some country.
I never heard that. That and gout. Those are the two things I associate now.
What I was just going to say quickly is I might be confusing – I might be messing up causality here because – you know, it wasn't until my adult life that I started regularly cohabitating in a bed with other adults. And maybe it's just that as I've gotten older, I sleep less well and I associate it with the fact that I sleep with other people in the bed. Whereas when I was a teenager and, you know, just on that futon at 77th and Aurora, and I just closed my eyes and I'd be out like a light, even though the thing after about 3 months turned into basically a sack of wet cement. It was so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'm confusing the fact that I just slept better when I was young and didn't have anybody who wanted to live with me with the fact that I now am old and have someone who does want to live with me, but I don't sleep as well.
Yeah, because I mean, I would like to go back to my caveat because I have a feeling I could, you know, eat these words someday. I've been lucky not to really have to deal with insomnia right now. There have been times in my life when it's been harder to get to sleep. And so I will be the first one to tell you, if I am having a night where I am having trouble falling asleep, then – yeah, there's a chance that at a certain point, like I say, again, if there's any tossing and turning, although Genevieve isn't really a tosser and turner. God, is this getting too personal? Or, you know, if there is some snoring.
Give it about 27 hours, bro. I'll meet you in a sprinter van. It's going to get real personal.
I don't think we're allowed to – we can do what we want. I don't think we want to start saying specifically what our plans are for all of this. But I will say Genevieve will be joining us on the van for part of this 24-hour adventure. And I am very excited about the conceit that we came up with. What she is going to be contributing to the show. I am like legitimately excited about this. But I would if I am having a night where I'm having trouble sleeping anyway, yes, I could see myself getting up and going to the couch. But I guess I just am lucky that at this point in my life I'm not having trouble sleeping. So having somebody there doesn't really play into whether or not I'm well rested.
Okay. I'm glad to hear your life is going so well. Mine, not as
so I
much.
Let you
that's
do all the, I let you do all the worrying about the show.
Hey, that's classically our relationship. I think the longtime listeners know it. Hey, we didn't even get to the big announcement that we were going to get to at the top of the show.
I've got something to say.
So let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will explain. Oh, my goodness. You
I
know
thought
that
was a drop. I thought that was a drop for a second.
That's housekeeping. Let's take a quick break. I got to go sort this out. I was supposed to be out of the room about a half hour ago. Actually, 44 minutes ago. And then we'll be back with more TBTL.
Hey there.
We all live on the edge of town, where we all live ain't a soul to bound. People starting coming, all we do is just a grin. Said we gotta move it out, cause city's moving in. I said we gotta move it out, cause city's moving in.
Who's this?
Aerosmith. It's my favorite
Oh
Aerosmith
my God.
Song. I know. I'm not like a huge Aerosmith head, but I just love this song. But now I'm very conscious of your feelings. Does this give you the bad feeling?
No, I'm good with it. I like an occasional Aerosmith jam. I'm well known to love the song What It Takes by Aerosmith. I feel like I like two Aerosmith songs, and you like two Aerosmith songs. You also like two Motley Crue songs.
Yep, that's about
you
me.
Get to
yeah,
pick a couple.
Not a huge Aerosmith. I'd like Ragdoll. Which I think is that was Permanent Vacation, right? And I think Permanent Vacation had some other hits on it, right, from the 80s. I don't know, yeah, every now and then, you know, and of course Dream On, a little overplayed, but can't say no to Dream On. We have better things to talk about than which Aerosmith songs I like, though, right?
We do, and it is the announcement that we are very soon to embark on something called the TBTL Challenge. The episode of TBTL that you will hear tomorrow, you will note a few things about it if you're a longtime listener of the show. You will note that it's a little shorter than a typical episode. You will notice that we are explaining things a little more than a typical episode. Why? Because we have created what we hope is kind of an entry point to this bizarre, twisted, overgrown universe of inside jokes and Aerosmith commentary.
And your number one source for Aerosmith commentary. No, your number one source for uninformed Aerosmith commentary.
So, you know, we love that all of you who are listening to us right now have invested the time to understand what we're talking about. But sometimes it does pain us to think that the average person, if they were to turn this show on, would have no idea what we're talking about. And we, of course, would like to have as many listeners as possible, because then we can keep doing this show forever and ever and ever, or basically the length of a Steven Tyler scarf hanging off a mic stand, which is infinity for the record. So we came up with this idea to kind of create what we've called the TBTL Challenge. And should I get into the whole spiel here, Andrew, or should I just basically tell people that tomorrow's show is going to be the thing that they're eventually going to be asked to refer the uninformed and the uninitiated to? In other words, we're trying to get you to get your friends and family and loved ones and whoever it is that is in your life who hasn't listened to TBTL before to listen to this specific episode of TBTL. which you can find at tbtlchallenge.com if all of the internets have been connected properly by the time people hear this.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll just explain the whole thing, or I'll give it a shot and make it as simple as possible. Officially, it doesn't kick off until tomorrow when the special show is posted. But as my mom would say to me when she was angry, I don't care what you do. The idea is we created a shorter, more, easier gateway show for people to listen to. And that's going to be tomorrow's TBTL. It'll show up in your feed just as usual. But like you say, you and I are going to be getting ready to go on this bus for 24 hours. So tomorrow's show is already recorded. It's about 35 minutes long. And then we're going to ask you to pass that show around or tell your friends about that show and they can listen to it. And if they take a picture of themselves, a selfie of them listening to that show or TBTL, you can submit that photo. And then the person, the current TBTL listener who submits the most photos of their friends and family listening to TBTL, giving it a try, will end up winning a big prize.
And we can't say what the big prize is? Is that a conversation that you and Brandon had?
We can definitely say what the prize is. I wasn't sure. We can say what the prize is, certainly. And then we can tell them what the website is, too, if we want.
Okay. So, the contest is... You, the TBTL 10 of listener, want to go out and get as many people to listen to this specific episode, which, by the way, will live at the website tbtlchallenge.com. You can go to tbtlchallenge.com. You can get the info for if you're taking part in the contest, or if you want your friend to go listen to the show, just tell him, go to the website tbtlchallenge.com. Everything you need will be there. Your friend listens to the episode, which, again, we've carefully programmed some of the biggest stars we could find, which is my mom, coming on the show explaining why the show is worth listening to. And if you can get the most number of people to listen to the episode and to document it by taking a selfie of themselves and sending it in to you, which you can then submit through the whole thing, it's all at tbtlchallenge.com. If whoever gets the most people to listen to it, we are going to come do an episode of TBTL from your house or... from outside your house, if you don't want us to come in, that's fair.
Yeah, I like the idea of somebody actually winning the contest but not wanting us to come to their house. So we'll actually – maybe we'll just rent the Butler van again, the van from Butler Rentals, and then we'll just park outside your house and do a podcast about the fact that you won't let us inside.
I mean, if you win this contest, you win the right to have us not do the show from your house just as much as you win the right for us to do the show from your house. It's totally your call. But that is how this is going to work. So if you've been looking for a way to really sort of help support TBTL and contribute to it, but this is not a great time in the money department, this is a way that you can make a huge impact on this show without any cost to you, the TBTL listener. It's just about getting as many of your friends as possible to listen to this one episode. That's part of why, by the way, it's like 30. What did it time out?
I think it's like 35 minutes, which is kind of in the window of what I think. I think they've done studies, and some people say that doing 3-hour episodes is not the best way to attract new listeners. I don't know. They're bean counters. I guess you got to trust them.
Some people have a lot to learn about podcasting, but we heeded the advice of the bean counters, and we decided to make this like not an intimidating length of episode. So I think it turned out pretty well. I think the conversation with my mom is really funny. I think my hope is that if you turn this on and you'd never heard the show before and you were the kind of person who might like TBTL, now that's its own kind of asterisk. We could make the world's greatest introduction to TBTL if we played it for the current president of the United States. He's not becoming a fan.
Probably. Right? Yeah, probably not.
I feel comfortable saying
what would
not
be
for
his
him.
Favorite segment, though? If he had a favorite TBTL segment, what would it be? And it can go back to the old days, too.
When we start playing Joe Rogan.
Oh, right. Right. This day in Joe Rogan history? Right.
Yeah, we just turn the show over to Joe Rogan is Mystery Solver. The mystery of why you're wearing those glossy black shirts when you do the ringside announcing during UFC. I guess what I'm trying to say is we have tried to make the best show we can for getting people who might like this show, might be predisposed to like this kind of thing, into it. And I'm pretty proud of what we've done. Andrew, you put a lot of work into kind of editing it down so that it's a nice, again, non-intimidating length. And I think it's a pretty cool show that we made. I'm pretty proud of it. And we would love it if you – would help us spread the word on TBTL. You don't have to worry. Like, there is no danger of this show becoming as popular as the Joe Rogan Show. Like,
no.
If we double our audience, we're still a rounding error on many other podcasts. So if you have a little bit of hesitation because we're kind of your special weird thing that, you know, only you know about and you don't want us to just become like this huge thing, there is no danger of us becoming a huge thing. There's a danger of us becoming not a thing.
Right.
That's if we don't, I don't continue, if we don't continue to grow our audience and find new folks to listen. So this would be great for if you want to keep hearing TBTL, please take a moment, write down a list of like 10 people who you hold some influence on, who will do your bidding for one reason or another. Ooh. And then go to tbtlchallenge.com and send them the link and tell them what they're supposed to do. And maybe we'll catch, you know, maybe in this process we'll pick up a couple of hundred new listeners, which would be huge for us. That would be a statistically significant amount of new listeners for us.
I like the idea of somebody having to call in a favor. What movie was I watching the other day? It's a bank heist movie, and it's got Jodie Foster in it, and she needs access to the bank while it's being robbed, and she, I think...
Man Tate.
It is Taxi Tate. It's Little... Mm-hmm. Tate driver. Anyway, you know, she had to show up at, I think, the governor's door and say, remember that thing? I'm turning in my favor now. I need that favor now. And that's how she gets access to the bank. Maybe you did somebody a solid, a secret solid that we never find out what it was.
You can never talk about because it's, strictly speaking, not legal.
And now it's time to turn that favor in. I want you to listen
to shit in
35 minutes of a podcast that is questionable at best. That's all we're asking. That's all. And
you know what? If you don't have anybody where that's the relationship, just walk up to a stranger and go, remember Albuquerque, 86?
and then do that thing
I'm
where
collecting.
Do you point two fingers at your eyes, two fingers at their eyes, one of those?
Yeah. I mean, listen, let's not like dictate every little detail of how the listeners are going to do this. The point is you're going to go out. You're going to get some people who've never heard of the show before, never listened to it. In fact, you know, this might get you, the TBTL listener, out of a couple of jams. Because a consistent piece of feedback that we hear on the show is, I try to tell somebody at my work about TBTL, but I sound like a crazy person. And I can never find an episode that really is a good starting point with the show. It's always just too many inside jokes at the, you know, right out of the gate. And so... people, like if this is something that you can say, hey, you know what? I will tell you what a TBTL is. In fact, go to this website, tbtlchallenge.com, and you can find out in 35 minutes or less, or your pizza is free. By the way, we don't have any free pizza. Don't promise that.
Yeah, no,
we don't have a pizza budget. God, I wish we did.
Offer not good with pizza.
All right, let's thank some donors of the day. These people, they've given us something almost as good as new listeners, and that is new monies. Made that very kind of, I don't know. I channeled Christopher Plummer in All the Money in the World, or whatever that movie is. These donors of the day support us during the most recent TBTL-a-thon. Their donations are making the show possible. That is the real truth, my friends. And these people are Amber Skrent of Cairo, Michigan. I'm just going to go with Cairo. What do you think about it? Are you think it's Cairo?
I think it's Cairo. C-A-R-O,
I know. Cairo sounds
Michigan.
So... Cairo sounds like... makes me sound like a cowboy, though. They headed on down the pass off of Cairo.
Yeah, you do sound like one of them famous Michigan cowboys when you say it that way.
Are you a Youper? Are you a Flatlander? Hey, came down from Cairo. Kevin Ryan of Lafayette, Indiana. Dan Schlieff of West Lynn, Oregon. I can almost see West Lynn from my front porch here at the Hotel Deluxe. That's not even a joke, Andrew. I'm looking over the West Hills, and I've been told that on the other side of the West Hills is, I think, West Lynn, or it's Lake Oswego. It's one of those places I haven't been before. It's one of those places where Dan Schlieff lives and donates to TBTL. Also, Sarah Adelman of Seattle, Washington. Amber, Kevin, Dan, Sarah, thank you so much for supporting TBTL. Thank you for being generous. Thank you for prioritizing this budgetary amount that you donated to the show. Maybe you're making a recurring donation. We We really we appreciate it. That's we need to invent a better word than appreciate it, Andrew, and a better word than need, and a better word than rely. Those are all true, but there's something that's even more. It's like
we're
basically we wouldn't exist.
Yeah, right. We
wouldn't exist.
Indebted. We're indebted.
I mean, literally, we're like a Doulos athlete, which you probably remember from Mr. Collard's Bible/sports psychology class.
What?
Where?
What? What's happening? There was a Bible/sports psychology class?
I mean, I don't know which it started off as sports psychology and got Bible-y or Bible-y and got sports psychology-y. I just know that it was a weird class. We learned about Doulos athletes or being a Doulos athlete. A Doulos slave was someone whose ear was pierced, I believe, by the door jamb of their owner. By the way, real change in how we even talk about slavery in the last 20 years. This didn't seem weird in high school. Now I'm like, you want us to be a slave to the basketball team? Because his point was you had a Doulos servant and we need to be Doulos athletes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's funny when you start like when you and I'm also the product of, you know, kind of religious Christian schooling, a very different variety than yours. But it is funny once you start getting into the kind of the language of first, you know, what we kind of owe to the supreme being, God, then it kind of also for my school, a very long standing institution, it becomes kind of like what you kind of owe to the school. And then once you kind of take that far enough, eventually it's kind of like, what do you owe the meatloaf that you're getting at lunchtime, right? Am I being disrespectful?
I'm going to say you lost me for a hot minute there.
Yeah, I don't think it made any sense.
I'm looking up. I want to make sure that I got this doulos thing right. And I do. It was a Greek slave. A doulos slave. A one who gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending the advancing of the cause among devoted to another, disregard one's own interests, a servant, an attendant, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just saying, we're the Doulos podcasters to Amber Skrent, Kevin Ryan, Dan Schlieff, and Sarah Adelman. And that's a lot of pressure because we're going to come live with you.
Yeah.
We don't have anywhere to live. Okay. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Doulos slaves, but we'll see you on Tuesday. And thank you. To Sarah, Dan, Kevin, and Amber, we could not do the show without you. Could not doulos the show without you.
Oh, my. Save it for the van.
Not all I'm saving for you.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Andrew.
Yes.
I'm going to propose a bold move because I've already, as I think the listeners will have heard, depending on what you left in the tape, I've already received one call from the very long-suffering and very kind Doulos front desk people here at the Hotel Deluxe. But they're ready for me to get out of the room. And so I am going to propose that I'll tell you this. Kids, teenagers have been trying to be funny and eating those laundry, like whatever you'd call it, packets, those things that have the gel in them, but also
the Tide Pods thing. Yeah.
A Tide Pod. People have been eating Tide Pods and they shouldn't do it. YouTube is not letting them post those videos anymore because they don't want to encourage it. And the poisoning, the accidental, or I guess you could say intentional poisoning via these like laundry pods is already at this point in 2017 equal to where it was in all of 2016.
How so?
So don't do it, kids.
Oh,
because
it's
popular on the internet and kids are doing it. They think they're being cool guys and they're eating laundry pods and they're getting sick. So don't do it.
Do you know that one of our listeners posted a photo of their kid doing it on the Facebook page? Because somehow this topic came up. Oh, you know what? This is where our wires get crossed. I think the topic came up because it was on After These Messages and somebody posted like the commercial of Tide warning parents not to let their kids do this. And then one of our listeners, I'll just leave her name out, although she was so chill about it. She's like, yeah, found out my kid did it when he was visiting his dad. And she posted the video of it. And she was just like, yeah, you know, he told me he was safe when he did it. I'm not going to lose tons of sleep over this.
Yeah, I don't get the sense that it's the greatest threat to the youth of America.
Just don't swallow it. I mean, that's what you.
But it doesn't seem super healthy for you. Like I'm all down with like, you know, the kids trying to eat some real hot, like a hot spicy pepper kind of a thing for fun, or you know, dumping the ice bucket or whatever.
Sure,
but like
reading the Bible, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Just let's get some Doulos kids out there, okay? You turkeys.
Here I go once again with the email every week.
This is happening. You can't stop.
I just want to say I'm not encouraging. I don't want to make it sound like it's no big deal, but I was impressed with this particular listener's ability to say, listen, he did something stupid. You could tell that he bit into it and spit it out at the same time. I don't want to be on the record saying it's not a big deal. Nobody should do it. It is bad. And if you even think about it, you probably will end up in the hospital. There. That's my
official
line.
But I ate way worse things as a kid, I'm sure.
You think so?
Just my mom's cooking.
Oh, it's a mom's cooking joke.
No, but seriously, I mean, I ate pennies and, you know, like you do stuff
Did
when
you?
You're a kid that's, yeah, like, well, I ate a lot of, I want to say probably 3 live earthworms to try to convince this girl at the school, at the church, that they were gummy worms.
Oh, my God.
I look back on this with great...
This is like out of The Simpsons. You ate 3 worms in trying to troll somebody else into eating 1 worm.
Which they ate 0 worms.
Oh, my God. Well, you showed her.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's 100% deserved. I was basically bullying this girl who was kind of a sort of oddball, I guess you could say, which is no crime. And if I were 41 instead of, you know, 9, I would see the world differently. But... she was like a very gullible type, and for some fun, I thought, and probably my friends thought, we could trick her into eating these worms, because there was a Tesoro station down from the church in Briar, and we'd go down there and get candy and come back. But the joke was on me because I ate 3 worms and she ate 0 worms.
Whoa.
And that is exactly – that is the universe doing exactly what it should have done in that situation.
Yeah, it really is. All right. So did you – I saw that you had put in a long email in here. Do you want to do that now or do you want to hold that for later? Okay.
Let's just talk. Yeah.
I just have one thing before we get off topic of the 24-hour thing. One person did post something to Facebook, and I think – somebody called and said this as well in our voicemail line. For the Vanniversary show, we had this whole conversation the other day about you're going to go on a jog around Green Lake about 10 hours into this thing. Some listeners may or may not
5 a.m.-ish.
Yeah, 5 a.m.-ish at Green Lake. If you're in the area, swing by. We'll be stopping the van there. And we had this whole conversation like, where can you shower? And are you going to just wipe down somewhere? People said Green Lake. Andrew talks about walking to Green Lake all the time. Why don't you just take the van to Walsh and Doormat here, and me and Camaro Kev can hold forth in the van for 5 minutes while you run in and take a shower. So I want you to know that you are welcome to do that. And also, I cleaned the bathroom last weekend, and they haven't torn out the toilet yet. So it sounds like it would be a good time to do that. So, of course, that's an option.
That is a most elegant solution. I had decided, well, boy, I got some pushback on the jumping in Green Lake idea, I'll tell you that much.
Did you? From listeners or
from
family?
Some listeners. No, listeners.
Oh, I have to say,
you know, I take exception to that because I grew up just off the shores of Green Lake, and I used to go there every day in the summer. I used to swim in Green Lake every day. People would always talk about swimmer's itch. We never got swimmer's itch. We ate just enough laundry packets to keep the swimmer's itch at bay. Which kind of neutralized our blood and kept our skin healthy. So I don't, by the way, agree that Green Lake is disgusting and dirty. But a lot of people think that it is. It's kind of – I think it's an easy target. That being said, I don't think jumping in the lake was probably a good solution even though I proposed it. And then other people had suggested like wet wipes or – you know, which that's kind of what I was going to go for. But yeah, Nadoi, if you're cool holding down the fort for, and you know me, I'm a short showerer.
You don't even like to get your face wet.
No, if I can help it. Plus, my hair is just spun sugar with all the Topic in there, so that can't get wet.
Now,
that's a whole situation.
The important thing, though, is I don't have the schedule in front of me. So we're talking about you coming in here, though, and using the shower sometime between, probably around 6:30 or 7 a.m. or something, 6:30. So we'll just want to give Genevieve a heads up because that would be a rude awakening.
Yeah, it would. And also, I mean, we could do a couple loops and I can come back at a more reasonable hour. If that would be
sure, yeah, maybe we better. Can do it during the next show. Sure,
I don't want to wake her, but it's nice to know that that's an option.
Yeah, I think you should take advantage of it. And then also, okay. If you want to return the favor, I would say because I'm going to need a shower before the live show. If we can just drive up to Bellingham before the live show, and I'll just hop in your shower really quickly.
Well, you know, no, I'm not even joking. We have a hotel room in downtown Seattle where we're staying on Saturday night because we don't live in Seattle.
Oh,
so
right.
If you wanted to. Since I'm tapping out to run the lake and probably tapping out to do some kind of showering, we could, if you want.
I think I'm fine.
We could switch it up.
Thank you. Unless there's some sort of Luke at the Kingdome style emergency, which I'm not ruling out at this point. I just re-listened to that archive tape yesterday, by the way. There is so much. We're going to try to play some little bits and pieces from TBTL past. And there's so much goddamn good stuff, man. I can't. There's so much I want to say about what's coming up that I can't. I'll cool my jets. But anyway, I think I'm good on showering.
You know, of all of the talking that we've done about this 24 hours, and I mean like on the air, obviously, but also just between the two of us. I mean, we have been from early in the morning, or at least early by our standards, until late at night, nonstop, emailing, problem-solving, corresponding with other staffers about this. At no time have we really talked legitimately about what the going-to-the-bathroom schedule is or plan.
Oh, right,
And this is – it's kind of crazy that we haven't even broached that because that's – until you mentioned a Kingdomian situation, it didn't even occur to me. That could be a real problem.
Yeah, well, I'm just kind of hoping that as we kind of make the transitions, I've mentioned to people that we're kind of doing this 24 hours as 10 individual shows, the live show at Rebar being show number 10. So I'm hoping that maybe as we transition between shows or something, we can grab either one person can handle the mic, or in between the shows, maybe we can just run into wherever our destination is, right? Like if we're picking up somebody at their house or a hotel, maybe we can run in and use the facilities in between.
We do have, and I will tell you, I mean, we've also talked about this extensively, you and I, Andrew. We have we have some buffer built in, but it's fun buffer. Fun buffer. So we do have like 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there if we need to like run and deal with something. We'll be sending out a signal continuously for 24 hours. Don't you worry about that, America. But we do have like just the briefest of moments where we can, one of us can handle the mic, or even both of us could run off if we were having dual kingdoms, which would be a real boy. You just better hope that Jen and Sean want to host the show by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If you and I get into a dual kingdom situation, we're passing some kind of a stomach bug back and forth. That could be a real bad deal.
Situation. I'm writing that down as a possible show title. Oh, really quickly, just while we're talking about that, I had posted on Facebook that I was looking for your story talking about the Kingdome catastrophe, is how I believe it's referred to in the history books.
Yeah.
And it looked like that piece of tape might have been lost to history forever, but the wonderful Anne was able to find it by just using some really good sleuthing skills. And so major thank you to Anne. I didn't want to forget that because she went above and beyond.
And big thanks to Christy Wise, a.k.a. Kissy Eyes.
Oh, my God.
Of the Little Red Baggin. They should consider calling it the Little Red Baggin. that's kind of a slick name.
That could be their loader adventure.
Can't ride with my Little Red Baggin. the Little Red Bandwagon, that is. Christy has been just... Chrissy is the woman I call who helps me do the Chrome River expense reporting for CBS. And I often mix her up with Christy Wise, the person I call when we need to know when a TBTL thing happened. Christy Wise has been so helpful in this archiving project that she's been running and in just like tipping you off, particularly Andrew, about sort of memorable moments from TBTL's history that we will be playing as part of this broadcast, this big 24-hour anniversary.
You should see the spreadsheet that Christy made for me about like a, I think maybe a Well, she probably made it like 2 months ago or a month ago, and I've been using it extensively this week. It's amazing. It's just amazing. So, yeah, big, big, big thanks to Christy. And again, thanks, Anne, for finding that show yesterday. That was amazing.
This email was sent long, long time ago by listener Dan, back in August. But then when he heard me talking about how I had basically deleted all of my emails, he decided to resend it, which was not a bad idea because I didn't know about it when he first sent it. But we had talked, I think you probably remember this episode, Andrew, about this guy who's kind of the pastrami, the would-be pastrami king of Italy. Basically, people love prosciutto in Italy, and pastrami is not that popular yet. And so there's this guy named Gianluca Tonelli who's profiled in this great New York Times piece about, like, what do you do when you're just like the guy trying to make a whole country like something they're not that into, but you know it's like, come on, dude. Pastrami versus versus the what do they have over there? I always forget now. I just said it.
Prosciutto?
Starts with a P. Prosciutto. I would take pastrami any day of the week and twice on Sunday. I think pastrami is so superior to prosciutto. But, like, imagine trying to convince the whole country of that. And that's what this guy, in a small way, this guy Gianluca Tonelli is trying to do. Well, Dan said a few weeks ago, I had the fortune of being invited to the home of Gianluca Tonelli, the pastrami man of Tuscany, mentioned in the New York Times article you talked about. My fiance Laura and I were on vacation in Florence when I realized we might be somewhere in the vicinity of the pastrami guy. I Googled around and found his Facebook page, which unfortunately said they only sell pastrami sandwiches during festivals. Crestfallen, I called the home phone number listed, and there he picked up. His English wasn't great, but he understood that I was from America. I had read the New York Times article, and I wanted to meet him and have a pastrami sandwich. He mentioned that he was quite busy because he's an animal doctor. Oh, that was the other part of that story. His day job was as an animal doctor. I feel like he was like putting all of his money back into pastrami, like that he was making as an animal doctor. He says he was an animal doctor. He was quite busy, and he wasn't planning on making pastrami until the end of the month, but that if we made it to the city of Lucca, maybe we could figure something out. The next day, on a whim, my fiance and I went to Lucca, and after a bit of phone tag, he said we could meet at the train station in Diacimo, 15 minutes north of Lucca, and that he'd pick us up and drive us to his house. Now, at this point, we had no idea what we were in for or if even he would be there, but we decided we came too far to go back. There was only one guy there, sporting a long gray beard, a fedora, and wraparound sunglasses. He was super nice. He drove us to his home, all the while talking about how much he loves America, all the places he's been, and the story about the New York Times came to find out about his thing. His home is as described, with a pig that runs around with a dog, along with three chickens. His pastrami truck is bright red, and he showed us his smoker. We had several patties of pastrami in the works. Later, his wife Beatrice showed up, and she was a delight as well. They wanted me to tell you all that they have a rental property in the area if anyone is interested in visiting and having a sandwich. And then he includes the link. So,
wow.
If you were equally intrigued by the would-be pastrami king of Italy, dude's got an Airbnb in the back of his house. Yeah. Apparently, go out there and just bury yourself in pastrami and eat your way out, man. What a way to spend a month in Italy.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. And you know, kudos to the listener for really whose name I already forgot. It's already leaked out my ear.
His name is Prosciutto.
Prosciutto. Dan Prosciutto Jones. Good on him for, you know, his stick-with-itness.
I know. That's the kind of thing I never do in my life, like, for fun. Like, I will do some elaborate, you know, journey or what have you if it's, like, if I'm doing it for a job, if I have to do it. But, like, I would go to Florence and I would go to, like, Acqua Due. I don't know if that restaurant's still there, but it used to be. It's a great restaurant. And I would drink way too much wine, and I would go to sleep. And the next morning I would wake up, and I'd be like, you know, I was going to go find that pastrami guy, but I think I'm going to walk around and find more wine.
Right.
Like, I just wouldn't motivate to do it. And I'm very admiring of Dan and his long-suffering fiancé, who, I mean, I don't know what her pastrami, like, hang is. Maybe she was more excited than Dan, but also maybe she was like, there's other things I could do with my life other than find this pastrami guy / animal doctor. But she was down.
And, I hope she didn't leave Dan for the pastrami guy / animal doctor. That'd be sad.
He's not a bad looking dude.
Because Dan sent this, like you said, in August or something, right?
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
There's just so much blank space that we have to fill in. Okay, Dan, let us know how it's good. God.
Dan, just give me a call if you need to talk. Yeah, that's rough,
man. I just want
you
to know that we're thinking of you, bud. That's fair. It's just tough. tough stuff. All right. We are going to wrap up this episode of the show, because if I don't leave this hotel room, I will be evicted from my favorite hotel in America, which is the Hotel Deluxe in Portland, Oregon. I don't want that to happen.
Can I just say one thing here really quickly as we say goodbye? I realize that tomorrow's show is short for the reasons that we explained earlier. Today's show is a little bit shorter all this week because we have so much stuff going on.
Play In a Gata De Vida.
Sure,
get it to 101.
No, I just want to let people know, because I'll bet you $1 million people are thinking, oh no, they've heard that shorter podcast will attract more listeners. Now Luke and Andrew are doing shorter shows. That is not part of any kind of plan that we're talking about. It's shorter this week because a bunch of stuff is going on and we're just crazy. I'm sure there will be plenty of we're going to be going into a van for 24 hours, and when we come out of it, there's not going to be any significant changes to the show. Do not worry about it. It's just been a weird week. I just wanted to say that. Calm everybody down.
I promise you the tens of listeners who may be worried because we're turning in two slightly shorter than average shows, I promise you, after you listen to 10 2.5-hour shows, you will not be wishing for less brevity from
us. That is very true.
Brevity is not going to be the issue starting on Monday's edition of the show and then going for two solid weeks. It is going to be all you can eat, baby.
One last thing. I meant to say this at the beginning of the show, and I should have written it down. I didn't, but it's very, very important. I want to thank everybody. We did not ask you to do this, but listener Lauren posted to the Stens page. She wrote, "Hey, friendos, what if every 10 donated $10 this week in celebration of the Dectatathon? Do you think we could do it?" And now there's this huge chain of people saying, "I just did it. I donated $10. I donated $10. I can't count them all up now, but a lot of people have done that. And I just want to say, you guys are amazing. We did not ask you to do that.
Yeah.
It is just, honestly, after 5 years of doing this, people just continue to amaze me what amazing listeners we have. So thank you so much.
Yeah. That's just, so I it feels like I overuse this word, but honestly, all I can say is humbling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we do this thing. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. It's just absolutely a daily portal into our life. And then to hear that people like it enough that not only have they donated, not only are they coming out to the live show at the Rebar or following us or calling us, by the way, we're going to be able to take calls apparently during this 24-hour thing. But then they're like, guess what? Let's just throw a little, as our friend Newman would say, let's throw a little candy on there. Mm-hmm. Let's try to make TBTL as financially viable as possible. I mean, it's really humbling. So thank
it really,
you so much.
It really is. Yeah.
Really. Can we, I don't know. You're not crazy about the Cocteau Twins, are you?
I don't really know much about or by the Cocteau Twins.
See, I love the Cocteau Twins.
What do you like? I'll play whatever.
Well, the problem is the songs, they're one of those bands that the songs almost never are titled anything that's in the song.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. Here it's
They have
happening.
A song called You Amaze Me.
Okay. You want me to do it?
That's great. But I don't think it's called You Amaze Me. It's probably called, like, Essence or Theft and Wandering Around or Know Who You Are at Every Age or The Hotel is Calling.
Oh, that's I love a that song.
Later work from them.
Or we could just go out with Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder.
All right. That's good, too.
I don't know
By
why.
The way, totally, no, because it's on the list of songs. This song should be called You Can Feel It All Over.
Oh, yeah, right?
It's like weirdly misleading that it's called Sir Duke.
It is. I was just, for some reason, I was just in the mood to listen to some Stevie Wonder. So I
also, tell me, is it over 7 minutes long? Because we can get to an hour.
It is not. It is 4 minutes long.
Dang it. Play it twice.
Okay. Or I'll slow it down. I'll you know.
Chop it and
chop
screw it.
Chop it and screw it, yeah.
All right, thanks everybody for listening. We'll be right back here with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Just because the record has a groove, don't make it in the groove. But you can tell right away, when the people start to move. They can feel it all over. 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 Go! Yeah!
And with a voice like Dallas ringing out, there's no way the band could lose.
Power out.